Today on Maine Calling, efforts to fix the state's public defender system. By any measure, Maine's system to provide defense attorneys for low-income defendants is in crisis, a crisis that has ballooned in the past year. In May, a study by the court's administrative offices found there were 833 criminal defense cases in the state in which the defendant did not have an attorney. In June, a judge dropped charges against a man in Androscoggin County because he waited so long, 3 months, for an attorney. The state is working to fix the situation. A new public defender's office is up and running in Kennebec County with others to follow. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we will learn more about these new public defender's offices and whether they are making a dent in the problem. And we'll learn what more needs to be done. Maine Calling is just ahead.
Maine Calling on Demand is made possible by Maine Farmland Trust, working with farmers to grow the future of farming and food in Maine. Learn how you can get involved at mainefarmlandtrust.org/learn. Welch & Forbes, working with clients to manage the full range of events that come with building wealth, from investments to trustee services. More at welchforbes.com. And by Maine Seacoast Mission, delivering healthcare, education, and support to island and coastal Downey's communities. Learn more at seacoastmission.org.
I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. Those who cannot afford a lawyer are entitled to a public defender, but the backlog of these court-appointed attorneys is a dire problem in Maine. Today, we're going to learn what's being done to address this. My guest for the hour, Jim Billings, Executive Director for the Maine Commission on Public Defense Services, formerly known as Indigent Legal Services. We invite you to join the conversation. Has this issue affected you or your family? Send an email to talk@mainepublic.org. Post a comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. Jim, thank you so much for joining us. I was looking back at the news stories, and I realized you've had this story about a year, this job about a year. What a year it's been.
Yes, thanks. Good morning. It's been a little bit of a whirlwind tour joining the commission.
So you have joined the commission. It's changed its name to better reflect what most people, I think a lot of people don't know what indigent services are, but people do know what public defenders are. Also, the state of Maine has created a public defender's, several public defender's offices, one of which is up and running, and boosted the amount of money that private attorneys are paid to take on these cases. So that's a lot. And I'm just wondering if you could start by giving us an update. My understanding is that one office is up and running, the one in the Augusta area. And how long has that been up and running? How many attorneys are there? How many cases have they handled? Anything else you think is important to tell us about that office?
That was the first brick and mortar office. We had just the rural defender unit before that, which did not have a fixed location. That office was situated in Augusta and opened and started taking cases late last fall as part of the long legislative session. There's a district defender and five line attorneys in that office, and then support staff consisting of paralegals. And we're in the process of getting ready to try and hire our first in-house investigators. That office, the offices that we've set up are geared to handle about a third of the adult criminal cases in the geographic area that they're located. And they're set up to cover the courts that are roughly an hour radius from where they are. So this office is covering the courts in Augusta, Waterville, and then up in Skowhegan.
And have you found that to be the case so far, that about a third of the cases are able to be covered by the office?
Yeah, I think it may be a little bit more than that in this office because they focused exclusively on Augusta for quite a while, did not have the same level of need up in Skowhegan. that we did here in Augusta. And so I think we've been very pleased with their ability to come in and kind of hit the ground running and I think make a good accounting of themselves.
Okay, so you did mention that this is the first brick and mortar office. Before that was something that I believe was looked at as a pilot program, which was the Rural Public Defender Program. Is that still up and running, or have these new offices that are coming online replaced that?
That program's in a period of transition. There's six positions, I believe, in that unit. We recently hired the district defender from the rural defender unit, Toby Gendro, into the Caribou Public Defender Office. He's a resident of Fort Kent, and he was involved in the rural practice clinic up at Fort Kent before coming to work with us. And he started around the same time I did as the leader of the rural defender unit. The theory of the rural defender unit being, a couple years ago, 2.5 years ago, the shortage of attorneys or the lack of adequate numbers of attorneys doing this work to cover the number of cases in the system was primarily thought to be a rural county issue. And the theory of the rural defender unit was that you would take attorneys from more populous areas of the state where they chose to live and have them cover cases in more rural counties. And so the rural defender unit was primarily assisting with cases in Bangor, Aroostook County, some down east. With the advent of the expansion of the brick and mortar offices, we've now got authorization for five of those offices. The rural defender unit is something that we expect to see the attorneys doing criminal defense work move into the public defender offices near where they live and want to work as those offices open up. In fact, we've already had one of the rural defender unit attorneys transfer into the new Bangor office. And our plans for the rural defender unit are to turn those positions into attorneys that represent parents in protective custody matters where DHHS has brought a case asserting abuse or neglect by a parent against children, and parents are also entitled to counsel in those cases. And so that small unit is going to be converted into representing parents in those cases as the attorneys leave to go into brick and mortar public defender offices.
All right. Well, I remember the last time we did a main calling program on the indigent defense program, as it was called back then, whether or not to have public defenders. Maine was, I believe, at the time the only state in the nation without public defenders, was controversial. People didn't think it was the way to go. They thought there would be other fixes. Has that controversy passed? Is there pretty much a lot of agreement now that having a public defender's office in as many regions as we possibly can is indeed the right way to go?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think there was a lot of skepticism about that. I came into this position myself with a healthy skepticism about that because I did this work as a private contract attorney when I was in private practice for a number of years. And one of the reasons I was skeptical about a public defender system was because you hear horror stories of other states where they have a public defender system and you have a captive audience of a limited number of attorneys trying to carry all the cases. And the concern is that they're overwhelmed with cases and they have way too many cases and they're not resourced adequately. And so whether you have a private attorney bar doing the work or a public defender office doing the work, the name doesn't matter if the attorneys doing the work are not adequately resourced and supported in numbers that can handle the cases with appropriate caseload so that they can devote the appropriate level of attention to each individual case that the person's entitled to. And so I think what we've seen in Maine is an evolution where multiple factors have come together. Number one, the necessity of raising the hourly rate has made paying public defender positions as paid employees more economically feasible, because if you're paying $150 an hour for contract attorneys to do the work, you can either do it with public defenders for the same or less as paid employees. So the economic hang up of opening public defenders offices has been something that we've seen dissipate a great deal. And I think there's a lot of policymakers that recognize that Maine prides itself on being unique, but we don't want to have a case of terminal uniqueness where the pride of being unique gets in the way of effective delivery of these services. And the definition of insanity I've often heard is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. And what we've seen over the past number of years is a steady increase in cases while the number of private attorneys doing this work has declined. And so out of both economic and actual physical necessity, I think we've had to turn in a different direction and try something new here in Maine, and that is employed defenders working for the state, defending these folks charged with a crime and opening up offices. Because what we've seen with the Rural Defender Unit is there's a limit to how much geographic area a person can cover and still have enough time to carry a full caseload. So by nature of Maine's geography, we require a number of different offices spread around the state in order to be efficient.
Jim, I started the program by saying to you, there's been so much change since you took this job a year ago. And the two things that I mentioned were the fact that you're opening and expanding the public defenders program, and also the state is now paying private attorneys more. But something else that has happened in the last year, at least by what I've read this morning, is that the number of people who are not represented is going way up. The Chief Justice wrote a letter last August citing that there were 100 cases in which there were no attorney. And just a few months later in May, another study found 833. Wow, eight times in just a matter of months. So you are dealing with a real crisis here. This is not theoretical.
No, we're either at or slightly over 1,000 cases now combined between civil and criminal cases. The vast majority of that is criminal cases, approaching 900 criminal cases, with a situation where somebody's entitled to a lawyer and they don't have a lawyer. And in many cases, the person is in custody without a lawyer, being held pre-trial, either on bail they can't meet or on some kind of probation hold or some other reason for holding them. And the concern is that, number one, they're entitled to an attorney under the Constitution. That's been settled law in this country for 60 years. And number two is the delay in the cases often can result in witnesses either moving, changing where they live, losing contact, losing memories, evidence that might have been available to the defendant. Could become unavailable. You don't have a lawyer, hiring an investigator to interview witnesses or hiring experts to put the state's evidence to the test. If the case involves forensic evidence or cell phone data, nothing is happening on the case. And it is really an intolerable situation. And unfortunately, there is no quick, easy, magic fix to it.
Calling in now is my colleague, Ari Snyder, who is a reporter at Maine Public. Ari, thanks so much for calling in. Ari, are you there?
I am, yep.
Okay, great. I understand you're working on a story about why some attorneys do not want to take on indigent defense cases or these public defense cases. And what we're talking about are not people in the public defender's offices, but the people who would be paid $150 an hour for taking on a case. What did you discover? Why are people, despite almost doubling the rate, why are people not taking on these cases?
Yeah, so I spoke with a number of defense attorneys who take a lot of criminal cases, criminal court appointed work, this indigent work that we're talking about. So there, what we talked about was sort of the difficulties that they face in doing this work. They said that the pay increase did help. That was certainly feedback that I heard. But other things that they mentioned that sort of make this work difficult is, one, the caseloads can be overwhelming, you know, handling just so many cases, complicated cases that involve jury selection, trial. I mean, the hours can really add up. Another thing that came up when I was speaking with some of these criminal defense attorneys is that these cases can be really tough to work on with many of the clients, many of the defendants, being in crisis, dealing with mental health issues, and then, of course, just dealing with what one attorney described to me as just the trauma of being in the courtroom, right? Like, this is a really intense thing where years of someone's life, right, if they're facing incarceration for a number of years, the weight of that defense is on the shoulders of course, the defense attorney. And so what was described to me by many of these attorneys was the emotional weight of these cases and the challenges that come with taking on many of them at a time.
Ari, thank you for that. And I know that you're working on that story now, so you don't have all the answers, but I want to ask Jim something important. Jim, do we have numbers today? How many private defense attorneys there are who are willing to take on these public cases, what we used to call indigent cases? How many are there and how many do you believe we need to have to catch up?
Well, we often hear different terms thrown around. There's a daily roster number. That's the number of attorneys that are showing up on the court's list of who's eligible and available to appoint on a case. Then there's the number of attorneys that are actually renewed into our program. And then there's a larger set of attorneys that are doing our work that may or may not have renewed. So the last set of numbers I have for all three of those categories are that there were roughly 368 attorneys doing our work this spring, and approximately 300 or 320 of those had renewed last year to continue in our program. So there were some that had received a case and were still working the case, but had not renewed with our program, and they were still working an older case. Of that, then 300 or 320 or so, what we've seen recently is about 160 attorneys available to the courts to appoint on all the different kind of cases that we cover, some of which are trial level cases, some are appeals, and some are what we call lawyer of the day, where there's no attorney immediately available to appoint from the beginning of the case. An attorney comes in and sort of pinch hits and represents the person at their initial appearance or arraignment so that they have someone standing there with them to answer questions, advocate for them on bail issues, and appear with them in court in sort of a temporary fashion until an attorney can be assigned with them. So those are roughly the numbers that we're seeing consistently week to week and month to month. There's around 160 attorneys presenting themselves as I'm here available to take cases to the court system.
How many more do you feel like we need to have?
Well, that's a difficult thing to answer because it depends. We have a great variation in the level of participation we have in our system. So private attorneys who are doing this work on a contract basis can choose how many cases they want to take. They can't be compelled to take cases. And so some people have a handful of cases, other people are doing this work full time. We're asking the legislature for an additional 30 positions for the last remaining three public defender offices for Cumberland, York, and the Midcoast to roll those offices out. And we expect to be doing that request is probably something we're going to ask the legislature to do in an emergency bill like they did the Caribou and Bangor offices so that we could get to work on that right away in January instead of waiting for the legislative session to end and then waiting for 90 days for the new budget to become effective. So we're looking for those three offices, and then we're looking to move from a public defender system that's geared to carry about a third of the cases to one that's geared to carry about half of the cases. And so as we continue to build out the public defender's offices that are already approved and advocate for new ones and advocate for larger number of public defenders to carry a 50-50 split between private attorneys and employed counsel, I think the number of attorneys we need doing the work on the private contract thing is a little bit in flux because I don't know that I will know the answer to that until the system is more fully developed and built out.
Well, Ari Snyder, thank you so much for calling in, and we look forward to hearing your story. Calling in now is Megan Maloney, who's the district attorney for Kennebec and Somerset counties. Hi, Megan. Thanks for calling in.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
And you, what was the point you wanted to make?
Well, I just wanted to say that I'm really happy to be able to say in Kennebec and Somerset County, because of the Public Defender's Office, everyone who qualifies for court-appointed defense attorney has one. And that is not true for any other district in Maine. So we do see the difference that the Public Defender's Office makes. We know it works. And a big part of the reason that it works is that they will take all cases. And with the private bar, there are many attorneys who won't take some of the most dangerous cases, where people have committed the most dangerous crimes. But the Public Defender's Office represents everyone. And that's why we don't have anyone who is without an attorney in Kennebec and Somerset. And they're experts in their field, and they're doing a phenomenal job.
That's great. And thank you so much for calling in, Megan. Just very quickly, I know that you've been district attorney for several years. It sounds as though you've seen a dramatic difference in the past year.
Oh, I absolutely have. Yes. And just an example, yesterday we decided to meet with any defense attorney who wanted to, who had a case on for docket call, just as a group to talk about all of the cases before court. It was the Public Defender's Office. Every single one came to that meeting. And as a result, they got really good settlements for their clients that keep them out of our criminal justice system for the foreseeable future, that makes the public safer. But it's because we have that time to talk about the cases, and they have so many cases that it's worth it for them to sit down and to spend a couple of hours talking about everything. And when you have cases in multiple different districts and you have to go up to Bangor as well as York County, you can't spend that time focused on the cases. So they do excellent work, and they're not afraid to bring motions. They bring a ton of them. They take cases to trial, but they also know how to get excellent settlements for their clients that, in my opinion, keep the public safer.
Megan Maloney, who's district attorney for Kennebec and Somerset counties, thanks so much for calling in. And we do need to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today, our topic is, what is being done about the need for legal representation for those who can't afford an attorney? My guest, Jim Billings, who is Executive Director for Maine's Commission on Public Defense Services. You can join the conversation with a brief email, talk@mainepublic.org, comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. On the line with us now is Toby Jondro, who is District Defender with the Rural Defender Unit and the Aroostook Defender Unit. Toby, thanks so much for calling in. Jim and I were talking about you a little bit. Tell me how it's going in Aroostook County. You are working on setting up that office, correct?
Yeah, we are. It's going well. I mean, we've made offers of employment to some new attorneys. We're going to be coming and joining us in August. So we're going to be bringing in three new attorneys to Aroostook County in August of this year. These are folks who have not previously practiced in Aroostook, so that's exciting. It's going well. It's a transition, but it's going well.
And we had talked a little bit about the Rural Defender Unit. Jim had mentioned that you have been working with that even before these brick-and-mortar offices were set up. What do you think were the lessons learned from the Rural Defender Unit? What went well and what did not?
I think for me, the biggest lesson learned from the RDU was that I think in Maine, we have a tendency to think of ourselves as a series of regions that are disconnected. And I think the reason the RDU in part was created was because the lack of attorneys for indigent folks was first felt in rural Maine. And I think there was a belief that that would be where the problem would stop. And instead, it kind of spread throughout the entire state. And I think there's a lesson there that, you know, when we have things that affect us in rural Maine, inevitably they end up affecting the whole state. And maybe we should reassess how we look at our problems and look at what happens in rural Maine and understand that it's eventually going to reach Portland and Lewiston and Bangor.
You mentioned that you hope to have the Aroostook County office up and running in August or shortly thereafter. And I'm wondering, we've talked a lot about this backlog, a lot about all the people who still need representation. How long do you believe it will take for your office to get the backlog of cases down to a manageable size and be able to give, honor people's constitutional right to a speedy trial?
I don't know. I wish I could give an answer and we could cross the finish line. I think we have a lot of variables here that are in play. I mean, the number of people charged is going to affect the number of people we need to represent. How much the private bar takes or doesn't take in that intervening period of time. And also, I mean, we're going to be doing a balancing act between taking on new cases and being, you know, responsible lawyers and doing good work. And trying to, you know, the pressure is going to be on to take all of the cases. And unfortunately, if you hit that point where you're taking everything all the time, I think you fall into the position where you could potentially not be doing good work anymore. And we have to balance those, all those factors. So as much as I wish I could have a date for you that everything will be fine, I don't think that anybody could give you that date.
Well, Toby, thank you so much for calling in. Toby Jondreau is District Defender with the Rural Defender Unit and soon to head up the new office, the Public Defender Office in Aroostook County. Joining us now is Carol Garvin. She is the Legal Director for ACLU of Maine. Carol, thank you so much for calling in. The ACLU in many ways catalyzed this entire system by filing a lawsuit, but have since amended that lawsuit. If you could, tell us what the original lawsuit was about and where you are now.
Sure. So we first filed our case a little over 2 years ago, back in March 22. And since then, a lot has changed. I mean, as you've already talked about today, the crisis has really escalated. So today, not only do we have thousands of people who are at risk of not being provided with adequate assistance of counsel. We also have, as Jim has talked about, many hundreds of people who are waiting to get counsel at all. And many of those people are sitting in jail while they're waiting. So the numbers that we've been getting from the courts are showing on a weekly basis that really dramatic rise. We had about 100 people without counsel back in November, and now we're up to about 900 cases. And also the number of people who are waiting for lengthy periods is going up. So we saw the number of people who are waiting for more than 30 days. That number has gone up from 40 or so to over 400 this month. So to address these changes on the ground, to address that kind of expanding crisis, we also expanded our court complaint. The amended complaint that was filed this spring includes additional factual allegations and legal claims that are really focused on this escalating crisis of people not getting counsel at all in their criminal cases. And it also expands the state actors that we named as defendants. So it includes, for example, the Attorney General and the state of Maine itself, in addition to the Maine Commission on Public Defense Services. And we did that because we think that addressing a crisis of this scope really requires the commitment of all different state actors, not just one commission or one elected official. This is a crisis that's too big for one person or one branch of government to handle.
And as you've heard and as you know, we've spent the first 30 minutes of this program talking about everything that's being done to try to address this issue. Obviously, still so many people, though, waiting for representation and many of them waiting in jail. What do you want to happen today? What, practically speaking, could happen today to address this crisis, given the reality on the ground?
Yeah, so I wish I could give a quick and easy fix here. I would love to do that. But to be honest, I don't think there is one. What we're seeking in this lawsuit is a fundamentally fair criminal justice system. And that includes that everyone who's entitled to counsel has that. Maine has this really far-reaching crisis that has been, I think, years in the making. And so it needs a far-reaching solution. The Supreme Court explained in Gideon versus Wainwright, which is sort of the pivotal case on the right to counsel, that it's ultimately the state's responsibility to provide counsel to every person that the state decides to prosecute. And so this, again, requires action from all branches of government. I think any solution that we have is going to have longer term solutions and also some short term solutions. So certainly, as Jim has been talking about, the public defender's offices getting set up, I think that's a really important part of this. But it's not a silver bullet. It's not going to be able to solve everything. And another piece that I think is really important is that Maine right now is prosecuting way more people than the system can handle. So we have many more people being prosecuted than the state can provide counsel for. And so it's the state's responsibility under the Constitution to bring that into alignment and to make sure that whenever the state decides to prosecute someone, it ensures that it can do that fairly, including providing them counsel.
Mm. And I just want to ask before I let you go, Carol, how does Maine compare to other states? There are really many places in this country in crisis when it comes to their public defense system, correct?
So there's different approaches and different levels of crisis. I do think just speaking about Maine, I mean, we've seen firsthand as we're litigating this case, the level of constitutional crisis that Maine is in. And I think we are unusual in that we have many, many hundreds of people without attorneys at all. We've seen this firsthand. I mean, we've been talking with people in jails all over the state right now who are sitting in jail without counsel. And as a result of that, they've lost their jobs. Some of them have lost connections with their family. Some of them have missed kids' birthdays. They've missed the ability to see a sick parent in the hospital. So this is extremely concrete, you know, effects on people's lives. And at the same time, as Jim talked about, it has effects on their cases. So, you know, the longer the delays are, evidence can be lost, people's memories can fade. And so we're really seeing that people who are unrepresented may not even know what kinds of rights they have. And they certainly don't know how long this is going to go on or how they can get out of this situation and don't know who to turn to.
Well, Carol, thank you so much for joining us. Carol Garvin, Legal Director with ACLU Maine. We're going to go to Mike, who's calling from Tenants Harbor. Hi, Mike. Go ahead.
Hi, Jennifer. How are you?
Good.
Good. Me too. I'm really glad for this program because I learned quite a bit listening to it. But one of the biggest things with this, my son has been making some bad decisions and has been involved with the courts for quite a while, and unfortunately he's had to use publicly paid defenders. And I'm so glad that the system is changing, because many of these guys have a really good heart. They want to help these people. Some of them simply do not have the expertise to work, particularly on the harder cases, and many of them are so overwhelmed I can't count the times that, you know, my son or some other young person that I've known has gone to court, and the first thing they hear from the attorney is, refresh me about your case. And yeah. In other cases, the first time they get to talk to their attorney is when they're in the courtroom. And that's just wrong. So these guys, unfortunately, they're so overwhelmed with work that they don't have the time to prepare to properly represent these people. And that's something that the public defender's office would definitely help. And I'm glad that they're doing that. But it is very, very hard. My son has sat sometimes for 60 to 90 days not being able to get an attorney, because there's just no one available to take his case.
Mike, I really appreciate you calling in and you know, making this very real for all of us. And let me turn to you, Jim, and Tina Netto, who is also Executive Director of the Maine Association of Criminal Defense Lawyers, asks a very similar question to Mike's. What's being done to ensure that people are not just receiving representation, but they are in fact receiving high quality representation, as we're hearing from Mike, attorneys that need to be brought up to speed on the case as it's in the courtroom.
Well, that was one of the criticisms of the first part of the ACLU lawsuit, and also I think part of the criticism in the Sixth Amendment Center report from 2019 and the Opega report. Since those reports have come out and since the inception of the ACL lawsuit, I think the commission has done a good job of expanding the central office staff, enforcing the requirements to take specialty cases, expanded the training program, and we've enacted caseload limits to try and protect against attorneys being overwhelmed to the point where they're not giving effective assistance in any one particular case. I certainly share Mike's concerns about his son. I think, you know, we do require our attorneys to go visit people in jail and make contact with them and keep in regular contact with them. For certain case types, there's additional experience, either a combination of years of experience in practice and some experience with the number of jury trials the person has done or handling specific case types before they could handle those more complicated cases. But across the board, criminal law has changed in the digital age from even 10 years ago. And all of our attorneys we're finding are experiencing an increase in the number of hours it takes to get through discovery because of video recordings that are now widespread, either from home security cameras, commercial security cameras, police cameras. And there's a lot of new technological forensic evidence in cases, cell phone data and location data around the use of cell phones, and we're offering trainings on all of those complicated issues with partners at the National Association of Criminal Defense Lawyers and soon the National Association of Public Defenders. And we have an opportunity and an obligation to train and supervise the attorneys that work for us. We think for the most part, the attorneys that are doing work for us do an excellent job, but there are concerns, and we get complaints occasionally from clients about a lack of contact from their attorneys, and we take those seriously and try to investigate those in a timely manner to see if we can resolve those.
Mike, thank you so much for calling in. We are going to take another quick break. Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today we are talking about the right to counsel and efforts to address the backlog of people waiting for legal representation, especially from a public defender. Joining me, Jim Billings with the Maine Commission on Public Defense Services. Share your questions or comments. If you're quick, you can send us a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org or find us on social media, or you can call 1-800-399-3566. Calling in now is Frayla Tarpinian, who is district defender with the Capital Region Public Defender's Office. Frayla, we heard the district attorney, Megan Maloney, call in and say that in your district, there is not a backlog. And I'm wondering, how long did it take to make that happen? How long to catch up?
Well, I think, first, thank you for having me. I think we inherited a really good situation. And back in November, the court had a few cases that required counsel, but it was a very manageable number. It was not quite the situation I think some of my fellow defenders will find themselves in currently. But it did not take that long to address the situation in Kennebec at that time.
Mm. I wanted to ask you, I understand you used to be a prosecutor, and I understand that one of the concerns in this sort of big picture that we're looking at is not just how many people there are to handle the cases, how many public defenders are, but how many cases are being brought into the system. And I'm wondering, because you have been able to wear both hats, do you believe in Maine that there are often cases that should not be brought to court, that are we prosecuting too much?
Thank you for that question. I I believe that there's two ways to look at that, and both would point to probably yes. I think certainly anecdotally in my office, I certainly bump into cases regularly that I question some of the decisions that have been made and sort of why these cases are being brought. While on the other hand, having brought cases that I'm sure very competent defense attorneys question my thinking at the same time. So I think there are cases that sometimes I question the value of resources, but I think you have to look at that in the context in which we find ourselves. So this is not an infinite system. We have a finite number of resources. There's a limited number of judges, clerks, and defense attorneys, and quite frankly, prosecutors themselves. And it requires everybody in that system working together efficiently to address the current situation. So even in Kennebec, we still have, you know, more than 75% increase in felonies pending. In Kennebec, almost 80% right here. But across the state, there's this backlog of pending cases that have taken up a lot of time that defense attorneys have, a lot of the court time. And while the system is addressing sort of the cases that are coming in right now, it's not working through the cases that have been stored up in the past 5 years. And until there's a concerted and intentional effort with everybody working together to work on that backlog, that number is not going to budge, and we're going to be in a situation where there's too many cases trying to go through this system. And unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on your perspective, the prosecutors have the biggest power and ability to impact that stream of work, because all of the rest of us, the judges, the courts, and the defense attorneys are responding to the cases that the prosecutors have chosen to bring.
Freyla, before I let you go, I want to ask you, you, as Jim mentioned, are the first brick and mortar public defender's office in Maine and have been up and running for several months now, almost a year, correct?
Yeah, we started in November, so I think we're on month seven or eight. Yeah.
And in that 7 or 8 months, what have you learned that you want to pass on to the new offices that are coming on board?
Oh, man, so much. I've learned a tremendous amount in the last few months, and I'm continuing to learn every day. But I think if you show up and you work hard, bring on good people, I'm fortunate to have an incredibly talented and wonderful team here, that you can really accomplish what you need to. And I think I have absolute faith in both Logan Perkins and Toby Jandro. They will be fantastic defenders, I have no doubt.
Oh, I fibbed. I told you one more question, but I do have one more question. I wanted to ask you if you feel as though there are advantages to having a public defender's office in which you can, how could I say this? You can catch trends. You can see cases as part of a broader whole, as I'm imagining when there was just a whole bunch of individual attorneys handling cases, they didn't have the bandwidth to get together and talk about cases and figure out where they may be able to help each other. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but having an office where attorneys work together, I'm imagining would be helpful.
Oh yeah, there's a huge efficiency to be gained when you have sort of a larger critical mass of cases and you have a number of attorneys who can dedicate that time. And a lot of those conversations spring up kind of organically. So they're not a planned sit down lunch, but rather it's, you know, after court, people come back and start discussing what happened. And then ideas start to formulate and then we can see trends and things. So I believe that having an organization really does give us a huge ability to do that and maybe then to respond in a concerted effort the same way that the prosecutors have had that ability all along if they chose to do so. I would say, though, that in Maine, we've had a really great bar who have worked really tirelessly through the efforts of, you know, MACDL and other organizations, that they really do work together, they encourage each other, and they have been tremendously successful at creating camaraderie that allows for some of this. I think we have a little bit of a better position to do so because of our kind of a structural advantage. And I hope that we're able to deploy that effectively moving forward.
Freyla, thanks so much for calling in. Freyla Tarpinian, District Defender with the Capital Region Public Defender's Office. We're going to go now to Rich calling from Moosehead. Hi, Rich. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my call, and this subject directly affected my life.
I'm a whistleblower who stopped the criminal operation of a ski lift at Big Squaw Mountain Resort. And in the process of the Attorney General's investigation in 2019, I was charged with criminal harassment by one of the operators. And I was not tried for 3 years. And in that time period, five separate lawyers withdrew from my case. And the last lawyer that I was given, because I had lost my job at the resort, I had an indigent attorney that spent 15 minutes with me before the trial, did not know the name of the man who had charged me, and also did not have a witness list. He had to ask for one from the attorney, from the district attorney, Christopher Almy, before my case. And I ended up being found guilty, but the judge had a document from the attorney general's office that the operator who admitted to the criminal operation, the ski lift, and described it, and that the man that was accusing me of harassment had lied about it in the investigation, yet I was still found guilty. And the judge reduced my fine to the smallest he said he had ever given because of the fact that he knew I had stopped a felony. And I just want the ACLU and this show to understand what I've been through for the last decade over doing the right thing as a citizen. And I ended up with a criminal record, never done anything wrong in my life, because I refused to commit a felony with busloads of children. And that the Piscataquis court found a way to discredit me, and the attorney general's office took 9 years to give me that statement of the operator. And I have been severely wronged by the justice system of the state of Maine. And my question is, where do I go now? I'm hoping the ACLU will take my case, but where do I go once I've gone through the justice system? I have no appeal now.
Rich, I'm going to give, yes, I'm so sorry to hear what you've been through. I'm going to give Jim an opportunity to answer your direct question of where do you go now? But also, Jim, just Rich's story illustrates the need for effective legal representation.
Yeah, so Rick's story is discouraging. It doesn't reflect well on our system. It's not great that the cases take that long, that there's that much attorney turnover, or that a client is dissatisfied with the level of service that they received, or that they are suspicious of a governmental agency that they feel wronged them. As far as where Rick could turn, I do think he probably needs to go to private counsel on the civil side to see what remedies he might have. It sounds like his criminal case may have run its course.
All right, Rich, there you go. We just have a couple of minutes left, but I want to give you an opportunity, Jim, to talk about what's next. We've talked about, now we know that the office that's Kennebec and Somerset County has been online since about November, Aroostook County coming online in August. What else? A year from now, what will we see around the state in terms of the public defender system?
So we've been authorized by emergency legislation in March to staff the Caribou and Bangor offices covering Aroostook County, Penobscot, and Piscataquis, and we've hired the district defenders for both of those offices. And we've hired the line attorneys for Caribou, and we're interviewing for line attorneys in Bangor. I think we filled one of those positions already. Lewiston and Ellsworth are next. They were authorized as part of the supplemental budget cycle, and those offices are authorized to open in August. Once we have the district defenders hired in those regions, what we do is we then involve the district defenders in interviewing the line attorneys, the people that are going to work for them. And so I'm hoping that this fall we will see public defender offices operating in all four of those additional regions, so that there'll be five offices up and running rather than one. As part of the two-year budget cycle that we're starting to put numbers together for, we anticipate asking, as I alluded to earlier, for the authorization for the other three offices for York, Cumberland, and the Midcoast. And we're also going to be asking for some more headcount or positions to cover the parents in protective custody cases. And we're also interested in moving from a one-third caseload capacity to roughly half. In the meantime, we're also trying to do everything we can to address concerns with our existing system and encourage contract attorneys in the private sector to continue doing our work. And I think a year from now, next summer, if we can proceed as we've hoped, if we can get an emergency bill in for those three offices, we'll be in a much better situation than we are now.
Well, thank you so much for joining us for the hour. Jim Billings, Executive Director of the Maine Commission on Public Defense Services. Today's sound engineer was Sam Tracy. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. You can go to mainecalling.org to sign up for our weekly newsletter or to listen to any of our past programs, more than 10 years of them. Up tomorrow on the program, we have medical experts to join us for an update on public health issues, including this resurgence of COVID. I'm Jennifer Rooks, and you have been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.